Today's sermon is on the words of Jesus recorded in John 8:51 that you heard earlier. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What does it mean to keep your word? It means to stand by it, right? To follow through with what you've said. To keep one's promise. My word is my bond, they used to say. But what does it mean for someone else to keep your word? Or how do you keep someone else's word? Similarly, it means to stand by what that person has said, to trust it, to hold to it, to believe it's true. We find it easier to trust what a person says if that person is trustworthy, don't we? Yeah, of course. And this is why we teach our children to be men and women of their word, not to lie, to tell the truth, and to have integrity. Because people of this sort can tell you something and you'll believe it. You don't have to question what they're saying, whether it's true or not. And then you'll keep their word. You'll believe what they say. You'll even defend what they say. You'll protect it. Because they're good for their word. That's what we're dealing with in this verse, John 8:51. Christians are to keep Christ's word. He's proven himself to be a trustworthy man of integrity. In fact, the only trustworthy man of integrity. Perfectly upholding God's law. Living under it and even dying under it. His entire life. Never sinning. And we see that when we look to the cross, we know he is faithful. He practiced what he preached. He didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. And that's where we see that God is good for his word. He puts his money where his mouth is, so to speak. He said, as we heard in the Old Testament reading, that he himself would provide the lamb for the offering. And sure enough, he did that. His only son, Jesus Christ, is that lamb. God's self-provided sacrifice. It spared Isaac's life on top of Mount Moriah. And he spares yours too. Here at the Mount of St. Mark's. On the cross. Given for you here. That's where the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our High Priest, died to secure an eternal redemption for us. And in doing so, he provided the evidence that we need to know he's honest and good, trustworthy, that what he said is right and true, and that we can listen to him and trust him. We can believe him. We can even guard and protect everything he has said. In short, we can keep it. Right? That's what it means. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. That's the promise. Now the question is, will you keep it? Do you believe that by trusting in Jesus' word, what he taught, that you will live forever? Do you believe that faith in him saves you from death? Or to put it the way you heard it said in Hebrews 9, do you believe that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant so that those who are called Christians may receive the promised eternal inheritance since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgression committed under the first covenant? That is to say, do you believe that Jesus' New Testament saves you from the consequences of the Old Testament, of breaking the law of the Ten Commandments? Do you believe that the gospel trumps the law, that you are forgiven through the gospel, that you will be spared from eternal death because of his temporal death? Do you believe Jesus has given you eternal life? That he's made It's so that you'll never, ever see death. It's a hard thing to believe, especially as our bodies start to age, start to break down. Even in the peak of our life, we're hit with something that says, you're mortal. Death is at the door. Do you believe that it's already been conquered? Do you believe Jesus has given you eternal life? That he's made it so you'll never see eternal death? Jesus said something similar to our text this morning, a little earlier in John 8, up in verse 31. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Free from what? Sin, death, and the devil. Death. Abiding in his word is living in it. Believing it to be true. And therefore living according to it. That living is freedom. Freedom from death. True life. And even before John 8:31, up in 8:24, he says, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he being the one who was sent to save you from death, you will die in your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is he who was sent to save you from your sins and from the death that is the consequence of those sins? That he's the Son of God, true God, the Lamb provided by our Heavenly Father to save you from death and sin. John 5, 24 to 29 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Notice the theme? John has a theme here. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given the Son authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Jesus says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come out. Those who have done good will come out to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil will come out to the resurrection of judgment. That is to say, those who were baptized through the water and word of Jesus into the good that Jesus has done, true good, found in the incarnation, his life, his death on the cross, those who have done good by Jesus doing good for them, they will be resurrected to life like he was resurrected to life. But those who reject Christ, who reject their baptism, who reject all of Scripture and this stuff that we believe in, Jesus' death on the cross for them, they also reject resurrection to life. They reject their redemption from sin, their forgiveness. And they will suffer the judgment that all must suffer. But without a substitute, without a lamb, they will be Isaac, but the knife will not be stayed. They will be slaughtered, for we all must be. Blood is owed. Justice must be served. And so they will be resurrected to judgment. The consequences of that judgment, hell. Jesus has proven himself to be trustworthy, and he's given his word that if you keep his word, if you believe what he promised, then you will not see death. Do you believe him? When Jesus told his followers that he was the bread of life that comes down from heaven in John 6, many of his followers, disciples like you, had a hard time believing that hard teaching, his word that said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven," he says. "Not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread, my body, will live forever." When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this teaching? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before, to heaven? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." And after this, many of his disciples, what you would call a Christian, many Christians turned back and no longer walked with Jesus. Even having him right there in front of him in the body. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed. And we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." You see, they heard the word. They heard it. And they believed it. They kept his word. Even the incomprehensible word that said to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to live and not die. They guarded it as truth and they lived by it. And human history shows that they died by it. Rather than let it be distorted, they held to Scripture and they laid their own lives down to keep it. They did that because Jesus was trustworthy. What he said was true. And they were willing to lose their own heads rather than turn away from it. A little later in John, in chapter 15, Jesus tells the same 12, "If people kept my word, they will also keep yours. Because you are men of integrity, people of the word." And then of the disciples, our Lord prays in his high priestly prayer to the Father, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." They believe it. They're not perfect, but they trust you are. They have believed it and trusted it and guarded it against distortion and lies, even though it is a hard thing to do. And because the disciples kept Christ's word, you and I now have it. The Holy Bible, given for us, that we would believe, preserved in its purity throughout time, so that you would hear Christ's word and you would keep it. So you would believe in the face of insurmountable odds, that you're not going up the mountain of Moriah to die, but to be spared in faith. That what you face in this life isn't bigger than God's word. If you simply trust, if you believe him. Now, I've been asking you if you believe what Jesus said, that if you put your trust in him, that you will live forever, though your bodies may see what we call death. The Holy Spirit enables this belief within each one of us. We are all of us, weak sinners. All of us stumble. All of us doubt. All of us have a hard time with this. And so we confess. I believe, but help my unbelief. That is, make me stronger in my faith. Let me start off like a little child, trusting, and not be jaded by this world that wants me to confess something different. And that's why Jesus has done for you what he did, that you would have somewhere to look in your moments of doubt. That's what he's doing for you right now. He's filling your hearts, your minds, with his word. And in just a moment, he's going to take his word and he's going to distribute it to you in with and under the bread and wine, his very body and blood. You will be confronted with Christ's hard teaching that to live you must keep his word. Even when his word says, "This is my body, this is my blood, take and eat, take and drink, live." Yet it doesn't seem like body and blood. And in that faith, at that moment, you are forgiven. And you are strengthened to live in that forgiveness. To know you have God's grace. That you will not see death because he already has. And you know from history, the testimony is good, that he got up from the grave. And so you will too. The Lord bids you to draw near to him and with repentant hearts to keep his word. Doing what he taught us to do as often as we gather in remembrance of him, in remembrance of the gospel of Christ crucified in your place, in remembrance of his word, of the truth, that he died for you as much as he died for the whole world, for each of you. Come, come all who are baptized. All who have prepared your hearts in the truth, come. Receive the word made flesh. Come and keep God's word. It is for you that you would not turn away, but so that you would believe that you have the free gift of grace, of eternal life. Come and feast. It is true. And so we say, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your heart in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.